fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
I'm J.R. Moore here on Tuesday, the 12th day of July. The purple tip today is if you have a generator to power your home, make sure you have a transfer switch. Failure to do that could end in catastrophe for a number of reasons. If you don't understand or know what a transfer switch is, talk to an electrician. A neighbor of mine did not have one. He ended up with thousands of dollars of damage because he did not have a transfer switch connected to the generator that powered his house when there was a power outage. You need a transfer switch to safely operate a whole house generator. It's wired to the electric panel. So just if you don't understand that, talk to an electrician. They can take care of it for you. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. At the moment, we're joined by Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. We're joined by Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. His 6 books for sale at amazon.com. Leon's held over from last hour. And good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Well, sir, your most recent article published a week ago today on the 5th day of July begins with a quote. I'm going to read the quote by G.F. Ryung. That's Golf Foxtrot Young. Looks like about 2 or 3 sentences. And here it is. In the 5th century, storm upon storm out of the dark north, that would be North Europe, swept away in a great deluge of barbarism, all the civilization of the western half of the Roman Empire, from the Atlantic to Constantinople, from the Rhine to the Danube, to the deserts of Africa, all that was learned and cultivated, all that was artistic and beautiful, was overwhelmed in an avalanche of ruin, in which not only the triumphs of architecture, literature, art, produced by many centuries of high civilization, but also those who create such things afresh were involved in one general destruction. That, of course, was the beginning of the Dark Ages, wasn't it, sir?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
And you go on in your article to elaborate how we're at the edge of that happening again, how centuries of music, art, literature, architecture, medicine, can be swept away, in a relatively short period, in less than a lifetime, correct?
That's right. In the lifetime of one person, the city of Rome went from a city of 900,000, nearly a million people, to 30,000 people with sheep grazing in the forum.
Sheep grazing in the forum. That paints a very graphic picture. Now, during that time, the Vatican, I believe around the 9th century, the 10th century, they built 40-foot-high walls. And the Vatican, the seat of government, the Vatican, remained preserved behind those walls all those centuries, didn't it?
Yeah, the papacy, Rome was sacked around 410, 411 A.D. The first time, and it was sacked multiple times during the century. I mean, it was as if they dropped atomic bombs on the place. I mean, Hiroshima, the streetcars were working the next day. Half the people in the city survived the attack. In Rome, during that period of time, like I said, it just got, and in fact, all the major cities in the Western Roman Empire, which were large, magnificent cities, they were reduced to small towns.
Now, there was tremendous, there were families, I should say, in Rome that had built up tremendous wealth that included gold, silver, jewels, real estate. You know, I can see where the real estate in Rome would be turned into pastures for sheep. But would it be a fair statement that those families would have taken their wealth, their portable wealth, gold, silver, and jewels, and gone to places where they could reestablish themselves, such as maybe Spain or Venice, for example, or maybe I understand that one of the Roman legions, when things were falling apart in Switzerland, the Roman legion stationed in Switzerland, they said, "The hell, we have nothing to go home to. We're going to stay here." And that Roman legion took over a part of Switzerland. Is that a somewhat accurate statement, sir?
Well, of course, it wasn't Switzerland at the time, but...
Now Switzerland,
but
right.
The barbarians overwhelmed Spain. They overwhelmed all of Italy. They overran all of North Africa. That was the Vandals that took North Africa. Vandals also went through Spain. The Ostrogoths went into Italy. Everything was overrun by Germanic tribes. And it was chaos, because when the people initially held up in their walled cities, they went and looted the countryside, burned and took farms, took everything that wasn't nailed down, basically destroyed just about everything. And those people who were passed over, there was no commerce. The commerce stopped because the cities were the centers of the commerce. So there was no more trade. And if you had gold, I mean, was just taken away from you.
Okay, now, the history of Venice, I've never really looked that deeply into it. Venice, of course, is an island city, is how I would describe it. Was it somewhat protected from those invasions, or was it not?
No, it hadn't sunk yet. It took centuries for it for the city itself to sink. I don't believe when it was originally built, it wasn't underwater.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. I thought it was surrounded by water, then later it sunk.
Well, I don't know if it's surrounded by water. I don't know if it was an island originally. It was called a different name, and I'm not sure exactly what its geography was at the time of the Roman.
Okay, well, you're the historian. I'm not. I'm just talking from my limited ability here. Jeff, when you went public with the 56-minute secret recording, it's been about 4 weeks ago now. You were the a big hit in the alternative media there for several weeks, weren't you, sir?
Well, a lot of people want to talk to me still. Yeah, a lot of people.
Well, great. I'm glad to hear it continues. I was at the Red Pill Conference in Indianapolis over the weekend, Ed Griffin's Red Pill Conference Exposition. Your name and your work came up a number of times with people I was talking to, as well it should. And of course, every week, if you don't mind, I'll be asking you every week for whatever updates you may have regarding knowledge of what China is planning to do, sir.
Yeah, well, the latest information from Mr. Wang and Luda Media, as I understand it, is that they're expecting the Chinese to do something on the 1st of August. Whatever military thing they're going to do, blockade of Taiwan, they've got some kind of a date now that it's August 1st.
Well, that's pretty close. It's less than 3 weeks away. We have two Sundays left in July, and then the first Sunday of August would be August the 1st. And we don't know, because that would be, obviously, if there was something planned, that would be highly compartmentalized. I would doubt anybody below the intelligence staff of the People's Liberation Army would have any knowledge of that, would they?
Yeah, no, it would be only higher level. And remember also, in my interview with Mr. Wang at Luda Media, and what was discussed is that Japan was going to be a target. Well, this is a piece of information that I had that Dr. Li Mengyan basically outlined for me, is that there was going to be pressure placed on Japan. Well, we see the most anti-Japanese politician in Japan, Shinzo Abe, was assassinated. And of course, Russian and Chinese ships have been prowling Japan's waters. They've had bomber groups of both Japan, both Russia and China entering Japanese and South Korean airspace. So they're really putting Japan under a lot of pressure, you know, direct military pressure.
Obviously. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. We got our first caller here, gentlemen. We got Kyle in Montana. Good morning, Kyle. Kyle, you're on the air. Hello, Kyle. Well, we got some kind of technical issue there. Maybe Julie can figure that out. Our other guest here, Jeff, Leon, was late getting on the show this morning because he was reloading ammunition, preparing to make as many Chinese widows as possible when they come to our neighborhood. All three of us are preppers, aren't we, Jeff?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, let's try Kyle again. Kyle, are you with us?
Oh, there we go. Finally, I was talking into nothing there for a little bit. So I had a thought about, I like to try to put things together, pieces like a puzzle. And all of a sudden, the other day, yesterday, I was thinking about this stuff, and it seemed to like come together to me. You know, you talked about the 900 cargo containers coming, you know.
No, stop, Kyle. Tens okay. of thousands of containers, 900 plus cargo ships.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. That's even worse. But I was thinking about was that if you had 1.5 million Chinese in Vancouver, British Columbia already, and you wanted to come down that coastline with those people to secure the west coast of the United States, and if they were operatives, you would have a place to unload that almost, I mean, everywhere. This thing is like a tactical move.
You have large numbers of Chinese in San Francisco already. You got a large Chinese population up and down the West Coast. And so many Chinese nationals who are really Chinese People's Liberation Army reservists? I don't know. I don't know what the numbers might be, but if people don't realize, Communist China is all over Mexico, by the way. They've got personnel all over Mexico, and they have for a while. and they flooded into certain Central and South American countries as well.
So, Jeff, is there did this Mr. Wang or any of these guys tell you when these things were supposedly going to hit our shores?
Well, when I interviewed Mr. Wang about the 14 May meeting in the background, because they have other intelligence besides the 56 or 57 minute recording, he said, you know, from the last days of June to the first days of August was when they were expecting the blockade of Taiwan to begin. And then, depending on the negotiation position of the U.S., then the war would begin. All-out war would begin 90 days later than that, is the way he outlined it.
Interesting. Okay.
So now what they're saying is, now this is tentative, that could change, but it's a way to judge the accuracy of the information we're given, is that the August 1st is kind of like a D-Day date for them. So that, you know, give or take, it's a Monday, August 1st, I believe. And that's when they would do it. I mean, you know, you can expect, I mean, already now, the story was floated to me yesterday that, you know, this credit card interruption in Canada, this was an attack, a cyber attack from Russia, that certain things that happened in Lithuania, also in recent days, cyber attack in Lithuania, the Russian cyber attack capability may be greater than anyone realizes.
The last question, or have any of you guys, I can't remember whether I saw it on Rumble or BitChute or one of those, was talking about that, the DEA agent that was saying that they had captured at this point, 8,600 Russians coming across the southern border that they knew of, the ones they knew of. Did you guys hear anything about that or see it?
I didn't myself.
Russian nationals.
Pardon?
Russian agents or Russian nationals?
Russian nationals. Yeah, they didn't say anything about agents. So, you know, wouldn't know who was an agent
But some of those people may be people who have been fleeing Russia because they don't like the war. You know, some of them may be agents. It's very hard to sort out who's an agent and who's not. This is a difficult area. But it's definitely possible some of them are agents, or some of them are Spetsnaz commandos coming across the border.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, that's all I had this morning, guys. Thanks.
Okay, Kyle, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Leon, if it's not privileged information, what caliber or calibers plural are you reloading for, sir?
7mm Rim Mag and 308 Winchester.
All right. That 7mm Winchester mag is a very powerful cartridge, isn't it?
Absolutely. So that's why I chose that one. And then once we get this dialed in, we're going to work on the 416 and 50.
All right. What a guy. well, Jeff, getting back to your article, what would be the basic goal of the article, sir?
The goal of the article?
The goal, you're imparting information here about civilization being fragile. Would it be accurate to say you're issuing a warning as to how fragile civilization is?
Well, yeah, I think people take it for granted. And they don't realize it's fallen. See, everybody believes in this thing called progress. And they think of some kind of perfectibility of human society or perfectibility of human beings. Well, maybe of the soul in the next world, but there's nothing made here is going to be perfectible.
That's right. We have a break. We have a call and hold. Right back.
Yeah. You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness, but there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Revs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing, I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We have on hold my neighbor, Linda. Linda and her husband own a beautiful log lodge about an 8 or 10 minute drive from my home. We're going to talk about that for 2 or 3 minutes here. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, John.
Good to have you with us. I call this a log lodge because it is so big. We're looking at about a little more than 3,000 square feet inside, another 2,000 square feet of outdoor living space, and some beautiful outbuildings, and the photographs are just spectacular. We just redid the photographs last night to make sure they're all there. The great room, now, this great room is spectacular with a fireplace, and how tall is the ceiling of the great room, if you know offhand?
Yeah, that ceiling stretches up almost 30 feet.
Yeah, baby. It's obvious from these photographs. Well, you have a favorite room. We got just a couple minutes here. Tell us about your favorite room and what it looks like and why you like it so much.
Well, you talked about the outdoor living space. One of my favorite rooms is what we call the cobblestone porch. It's a screened-in porch. It's in the back of the house, and it's surrounded by just majestic oak trees, pine trees, and several hickories. And when you're back there, there's a full-size hammock. It's as if you're just in the woods. So I like to say that it's a way of being out in the woods without the bugs.
No bugs, and you got to be there in the rain and not get wet and enjoy being outdoor without the discomfort.
Right. It's just it's just a wonderful room. We also walked yesterday, my husband and I walked the northwest property line, and we had actually never been back there. And we were amazed with the amount of blackberries and wild blueberries and elderberries. Just that northwest slope was just covered with them, just thick. And then at the base of that is a small tributary that I was surprised that had water in it still, because we have been so dry for about a month now. But it still had water flowing in it, and it runs into the Hoosaw if you follow that tributary. It's just a beautiful place.
Live water on the place. Now, the surveyor is supposed to be there to survey the place about when now?
I believe it'll be the last week of July.
Okay, so we're looking at about 2 weeks away. We're looking at 30 or 35 acres subject to a survey. The price, if you live on the East Coast, West Coast, Texas, you see this price on this place, you think, man, this is what a bargain. And just give me a call. My website, my telephone number is at my website. Give me a call. I'll make arrangements for you to take a look at it with Linda. And whoever gets it first is the person who gets it first and gets to be our neighbor. Right, Linda?
That's right. That's right. We're
Fantastic.
Looking forward to meeting you.
Well, it'll be great, and we'll talk about this again tomorrow at 8:20. And we thank you for your call, Linda.
Thank you, Jan.
Okay. All right. Our next caller is my webmaster, Tim Spencer. What's going on, Tim?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good, good. What's going on, sir?
Well, I wanted to ask Jeff a question. About 4 o'clock this morning, the first time I'd seen it, President Putin has called an emergency meeting of the Duma for the 15th. The hypothecation on it is that he is going to ask the Duma to declare war on the Ukraine. I just want to know if you, Jeff, have heard anything about it.
Yeah, I have heard about it. Yeah, it's a scheduled meeting of the Duma, yes. The Russians are looking to some kind of larger mobilization of their system. So they need...
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to confirm it with you. I'm going to be recording a podcast today, and I wanted to confirm it with an expert. So that's the reason I called in. You know, you stated exactly what I thought was going on. So...
Well, there's the Russians have been engaged in what some have called a stealth mobilization.
Right.
And look, people talk about the Ukrainians losing about 200 casualties and wounded, dead and wounded every day in the fighting. The Russians, I'm told, are losing about 3.5 times as many, about 700 a day. And so neither side is able, because of the attrition rate, to build new units or change the position a whole lot. The Russians are expending many times the number of howitzer shells. The Russian missiles are not falling accurately, and the Russians are having problems. They lost their anti-aircraft component of their Baltic fleet, so they've had to back off their brigade. Their blockade on Odessa,
right.
Pulling back further because of the loss of the Moskva. So it's a very much a sort of a deadlocked war right now.
Right,
Tim,
John,
you want to hold
okay
on?
If I hang on through the break,
yeah, hold on after the break. We'll get through the break. We'll get back to this conversation.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our 5th bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Then I wish I was in
back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. Exclusive content you find nowhere else. Articles by my friend Steve O'Neill, the nuclear scientist, at my website, found no place else. The latest intelligence briefing updated every 48 hours on Monday, every 24 hours Tuesday through Friday, put together every day by a friend of mine, a former counterintelligence agent. And of course, products you can't find hardly anywhere else, such as the energy cleaner, the rocket stove, you can find other places, but I am the executive vice president of the Liberated Rocket Heater Company. A lot of interest over the weekend in Indianapolis for these stoves. All these products available at thelibertyman.com. If you already have an energy cleaner, check out the Micro Plush Throws. They're cozy, they're elegant. You can use them on your bed, on your car seat, on your recliner. Only $75 should be included. I'm taking delivery of 32 more this week. My toll-free hour line is 800-592-9543. Visiting with the Tuesday morning roundtable, we have Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer, Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. His book's for sale at amazon.com. And, Jeff, before we get back to Tim's calls here, how can people subscribe to your website, please?
There's a PayPal button below every article and or video.
Outstanding. And Tim, you have a further question or comment, sir?
Well, the only question I had further for you, Jeff, was if Putin does, as is opined by many news agencies in Europe, and does declare war on Ukraine, what changes do you see happening other than mass mobilization on the Russian side? Do you think they'll really take out Kyiv and Odessa, as they're stating, or do you think it'll just only enable Russia to call up the reserves and their old, more old equipment?
Well, it will justify Russia taking actions against perhaps some of the countries that are helping Ukraine. So it may be a step up to sort of signal to the world that they mean business, and that anybody that's involved there could be subject to attacks. It could involve additional economic actions that would be taken against NATO countries or the U.S. or Canada.
Okay. Well, that kind of goes along right with my thinking. I mean, you're basically inside my head there, Jeff. Anyway, I'll let you guys go to your next caller, and I hope everybody, Leon, John, Jeff, I hope you guys all have a great day.
Thank you, Tim. We appreciate the call. Our next caller is Doug in Texas. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Jeff. I just wanted to bring attention, John, to a story that you talked about yesterday on your show. Lisa Haven had reported, I think, on her podcast about the war drills going on in Latin America. And I did source and find an article on the Washington Free Beacon. It was dated July 5th. It was titled, Iran, Russia, China to Run War Drills in Latin America. And what's interesting about that article is the timing of it is scheduled to begin mid-August, which is consistent with what Jeff is hearing. And Jeff, I wanted to know if you're familiar with that. I'm not really familiar with the Washington Free Beacon, but I did find that this morning. And again, are you familiar with this war drill occurring in Latin America?
Yeah, Bill Gertz used to edit their Washington Free Beacon. There's a lot of good defense information in there. And yes, I heard the story when it first came out, yes.
Okay. Is it? Have you vetted it as being something that is accurate?
Well, yeah, Bill Gertz is accurate, and the Free Beacon has been accurate. I haven't seen anything that was in there that wasn't true. I mean, look, Daniel Ortega, the communist dictator of Nicaragua, is a Sandinista, has invited Russian troops into Nicaragua, and the Russians accepted. The Russians are going to move troops into Central America, which is part of North America, by the way, technically. They're going to have troops on the North American continent. They're moving, troops, ships, and aircraft will be deploying into Nicaragua sometime later this year. So they're coming into the hemisphere. They also already have troops in Venezuela. Both the Russians and Chinese, I believe, have anti-aircraft troops in Caracas. And, of course, Cuba, there may be hidden Russian and or Chinese troops in Cuba. You know, there were 50,000 Soviet troops came into Cuba during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And if you've read The Ends of Power by H.R. Haldeman during the Nixon administration, they discovered that many of those troops were still there because they discovered the soccer fields that those troops were using Cubans don't play soccer, they play baseball. So that was the comment that was made at the time when their satellites found the soccer fields. There's Soviet troops still in Cuba. So there's things been going on in our hemisphere, and I think it's going to get a lot more heavy foreign involvement in our hemisphere. Yeah.
Well, Jeff, I really respect your work and John's as well. So if you all get access to that article, again, it was dated July 5th. There's a lot of good information in there. Again, the Washington Free Beacon, and it was dated July 5th. And you know, perhaps, John, you could look into that and have Jeff comment on it at a later date. But thank you for your show, and appreciate all your good information, Jeff. Thank you.
That sounds good. Thank you for the call.
You bet.
Our next caller is John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello for both guests. As the war becomes, you know, more entrenched and more into not becomes more inconclusive as time goes on, and the economic conditions in Russia continue to worsen, and I've been hearing some bad some people getting some stuff out on YouTube, but what are the political implications within Russia, and if the economic situation worsens much more and there is discontent, what could the outcome of that be in the next several months, if that is possible? And what will be the military consequences of that on the ground?
Well, the Russians haven't shown as yet their great capabilities they've been bragging on. I don't doubt that the Russians have capabilities they're holding back on. Certainly, they haven't mobilized. I mean, they could mobilize millions of men, and they've only hundreds of thousands. So if they are able to mobilize the numbers, they can win the war in Ukraine and probably terrify Europe into, maybe terrify them into neutrality. Who knows? But the problem with threatening people, which is what the Russians are doing to just about everybody, is threatening them and then, you know, conducting economic and cyber warfare, is that people really get very angry and they start preparing against you. And a lot of people would rather fight than be under somebody else's thumb. And the problem is as the resistance to what Russia's doing increases, it's a race between whether that resistance is sufficient to stop the increase of Russian power as they start deploying. But yeah, the Russians are, you know, obviously allied with the Chinese and the rest of the bloc, Iran and the other communist countries and Africa, Latin America, and Asia. And we do seem to be headed for World War III. It does appear that way.
You got a follow-up question, John, before we move on?
Hey, what are the our recent weather conditions, what are they? Are they in any way related to this? Are these natural or are these artificially created, or what's going on?
What weather can you talk? Now you're asking me about weather warfare?
Yes.
I don't. I know the Russians are operating their over the horizon radars that what used to be called the Russian Woodpecker that these standing waves do things to the jet stream. I'm not sure if those kind of use of electromagnetic energy is intentional. I know there were scientists in the past that said that there was intentional manipulation by the Russians. There's people that say the U.S. and other Western governments manipulate the weather. You had a flooding in Australia that there was some kind of seeding of the weather front that made it into a really worse storm than it was. Why they did that, I don't know. You know, there's people that want to say global warming, you know, means we have to shut down all of our oil industry. And so they want to make an effect that they can claim, look, global warming, it's catastrophic storms. We need to stop, you know. I don't know. We've got really crazy people, you know, on the left in Western governments, and we got crazy people in the totalitarian governments in China and Russia. So we got a lot of craziness going on. I don't know. You know, the scientific ability to manipulate weather is there. Are people doing it? For what reason? Those are technical questions. Probably there's some weather manipulation going on. How extensive is it? I think some people might exaggerate it. I don't know. Maybe they're not.
Okay, John, we do thank you for your call. We need to move on, sir. We appreciate it. Okay, Jeff, you live in the what I call the frozen Northland. It'll start getting cold there, chilly in October or November?
Last year, October was warm. It was like an Indian summer, extended summer. So it depends. I don't know. It October, usually it gets cold in October.
So do you heat with wood up there, or what is your source of warm, keeping your house warm?
Yeah, we have trees. We have a lot of trees on the property and a lot of wood lying around on the ground from the trees. Ash trees are dying out here in northern Michigan. There's a disease they have, so there's a lot of them on the ground. And they make good, they season them by lying there. They make you just chop them up, and they make good good firewood.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, and Leon, how are you going to be heating your home this coming winter? Hello, Leon. Hello. Well, it looks like we may have lost Leon. He may have went back to doing his reloading.
Right now, we just have electricity and the propane is. We need to get a lot more of that, and we have a fireplace that I brought in from Idaho, but it's not been installed because we haven't built the house yet. So we're really behind the curve here.
Right, right. Well, I would encourage the folks at your location to consider and look into the Liberator rocket heater. Each stove can heat 2,000 square feet and burn any wood. It can be pine or cedar or oak. It doesn't matter because there's no smoke. 100% combustion. Once it gets up to, well, it's actually 99.5% combustion. Once it gets up to operating temperature, which takes about 5 to 7 minutes. And then you can burn twigs, firewood, wood pellets, anything you need to stay warm there, Leon. And say again.
Yeah, he does want to buy it. He's talked about getting the rocket stove, so I'm like, yeah, that's exciting. But why don't we get here first, and we can buy everything we want once we get here.
All right. Well, that's an issue we won't discuss over the air, but that's been an ongoing issue for our mutual friend for a while, and hopefully that will be resolved shortly. And Jeff, if you're wood burning appliances near the end of its useful life, typically that would be around 20 years or so. You certainly might want to look at the Liberator rocket heater also, as well as everybody else listening.
What kind of exhaust system do you need for it?
Well, it has a standard 6-inch flue pipe, and there's smoke the first 5 to 7 minutes, and after that there is no smoke. And you also want to hook up a 4-inch pipe for combustion air to come from the outside. When you have outside combustion air, you increase the efficiency tremendously because you're not burning up, you're not shooting that nice warm air you just paid to heat up the chimney. You're burning up outside air for combustion. So there's a lot of benefits, plus a nice 16-inch flat top that you can heat up water, cook a meal, make coffee on a 16-inch flat top. All the details are at my website, Jeff. There's videos there. And photographs and the dimensions and everything, the width, the depth, the height of it. It's a relatively compact and very unique, And I don't want to dwell on that too much longer. We do talk about it for half an hour on Fridays. But if you want to heat with wood and save money, stay warm and cozy, that's certainly something to be looked at. Well, Jeff, I don't know who does the food shopping in your family. Do you do it with your wife? Do you trade off? And have you seen any shortages in the supermarket?
No, my brother and I do the shopping for we took in our elderly parents and we're looking after them. But my brother does more shopping than I do, but we do the shopping ourselves. I haven't seen any shortages myself up here, not yet.
Well, probably have been seeing dramatic price increases, though, haven't you?
Yeah, prices have been increasing, yes.
That's true. And Leon, same thing for you. You're seeing dramatic price increases in food in your neighborhood.
Yes, sir. And I like to hit the clearance sections and everything like that in Shetler's. And so these are discount stores. So I stock up. But yeah, I know we don't buy anything full retail, and especially since the stuff I'm getting is in bulk. You know, they have been impacted, but when I heard that they aren't going to be getting any wheat for over, you know, this the whole wheat in over a year, that was disconcerting.
Well, gentlemen, I bought gas over the weekend for $3.99 here in my neighborhood in Missouri. $3.99 in Missouri for gasoline. here's our break. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Roe v. Wade is gone, and I believe it was the progressives' fault. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. I believe abortion is murder, but I didn't say much about it until New York and Virginia started to allow abortion up to the moment of birth. It was those laws that got me involved in politics. Those two states inspired me to write my first book. If abortion had stayed safe, legal, and rare, many people would have just gone along to get along. If abortion had stayed restricted to the first trimester before viability, I would have remained silent. The fact is that less than 8% of abortions are performed because of rape, fetal health, or maternal health. Over 92% are done because the woman doesn't want a child for whatever reason. The progressive push for ever-expanding abortion access woke people like me up. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pasham, Parabellum.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
All right, we go back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Tuesday Morning Roundtable with Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer, Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. His book's for sale at amazon.com. And being prepared and getting prepared is something all three of us do. And of course, Steve Bannoon and Steve O'Neill are also involved in preparedness. We may or may not hear from these two guys this morning. But Leon, you're one of the most advanced preppers I've ever known. It took, if you'd made one trip down here, which it took several trips, it would have been a convoy of, what, four or five vehicles to get you down here? Hello, Leon. Looks like we lost Leon again. Maybe he'll get back with us. And, Jeff, you moved from California to the frozen Northland. Has it been not quite 2 years?
It has not been yet 2 years. I moved it down here in 2020 after the pandemic came. I wanted to get out of California.
Well, I'm a bit surprised you stayed as long as you did. The communists, I think if we ever really get to the truth, I think we'll find out that the communists figured out a way to steal every election in California and basically take control of the government. I don't have evidence of that, but after what I saw in November 2020, I'm pretty convinced that that's exactly what they did. They rigged the voting to take control of the state. Do you have any thoughts on that, sir?
No, the Democrats have controlled the state legislature for decades. It was only in 1980, briefly, that the Republicans took the legislature. I don't think that they were controlling the elections back then in the 1980s and 90s when everybody voted Democrats in every year in the legislature. As far as governors, they had a run of very good Republican governors, except for the last one, Mr. Wilson, who I had no respect for at all. But, and Arnold Schwarzenegger was a bit of a disappointment. So, and the only reason he got in was because the Democrats, Mr. Brown, former Governor Brown's protege, was such a disaster. Jerry Brown was a fiscally conservative Democrat, so he held the state together when they wanted to destroy it financially. Mr. Newsom wants to be president, but he's, again, he's part of that. What is he, the nephew of Nancy Pelosi? He's all of these Democratic politicians and some of the Republican ones ended up being connected to China. The state is very much tied to China in terms of their politicians, especially the Bay Area.
Well, you made reference a moment ago that they didn't improperly control the elections in the past. How about in 2022?
Anyone ever objected or thought or imagined? No, there's no evidence I've ever seen for that. Nobody's ever mentioned it. Of course, bringing in illegal aliens and turning them into citizens and having them vote.
That certainly feeds into it. We got a break. We'll be right back.
Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Barron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing, it's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.